Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, Council Courier, Winter 2023. Read by Council Volunteer Sarah Werbeckis. In the Winter 2023 issue of Council Courier, what's on the menu? Council's Vision Services offerings continue to grow. Letter from Executive Director Denise Jess. Raise your voice to help improve the state of vision services in Wisconsin. State budget priorities taking center stage in Council's advocacy. Gallery night was a fall highlight for artists and art lovers alike. New year brings changes to Board of Directors. Support the Council in a lasting way through planned giving. Upcoming events: The Big Share, Scholarship Applications, and Advocacy Days. About us. What's on the menu? Council's Vision Services offerings continue to grow. Photo: Jim Denham watching a woman sitting at a table working with a keyboard and smartphone. Whether it's during a home visit, at a job site, at our own office, or in a virtual remote session, the Council's Vision Services staff can help determine the impact of vision loss on an individual's daily activities and work with them to develop strategies for living safely and independently. They teach, troubleshoot, and problem solve to help people adapt and cope with changing vision using adaptive skills, assistive devices, and new approaches to common tasks. All programs are led by qualified, certified professionals who individualize a learning plan for each client. Specific goals are identified. Staff collaborates with the individual seeking assistance to determine an action plan. Referrals may also come from eye care providers, social services, and DVR counselors. Our menu of available vision services has expanded over the past year. Here's a summary of the types of services people who have vision loss can access through the Council. Orientation and mobility, or O&M, sessions are led by Certified Vision Rehabilitation Therapist and Certified O&M Specialist Brent Przenka. O&M provides skills for getting around safely and independently. That could be anything from weight cane skills, to get to a baseball game across town, to navigating one's own home, to moving safely from the basement laundry room to the second story bedroom. It's all about independence. Learning to instruct people in cane skills was one of the centerpieces of Brent's training. He provides an assessment to discover the client's needs and goals for mobility, then provides training at their residence, in the community, or at their workplace. Brent notes that getting a person to trust the cane over their vision can be a tough sell. There's a building of confidence, he says. Confidence in both the cane and in the instructor. You take baby steps, Brent says. Building a rapport is important. They need to build trust to take your word and take that leap of faith. Access technology services at the Council are provided by Access Technology Specialist Jim Denham. Whether clients are trying to use a smartphone, such as an iPhone, tablet, such as an iPad, or a personal computer, an Access Technology Specialist can assist an individual experiencing vision loss utilize technology effectively at home, in school, or at the office. During the assessment, a client's current abilities, needs, and technology-related goals are discussed, and features of current hardware and software applications are demonstrated. Each one-on-one training session is customized to provide what the client needs to meet their individual training goals. Training can occur at the Council's Access Technology Classroom, at home, or via online remote instruction. The goal of Access Technology Services is to assist individuals with vision loss to gain access to information as efficiently and easily as possible. Low vision evaluations are provided by certified low vision therapist Amy Werf. She works with clients to find ways to maximize remaining vision using color, contrast, lighting, and magnification. Amy describes the evaluation as a guided tour of magnification options. It can be frustrating trying to find a strong magnifier at regular stores, and online shopping does not offer a chance to try the magnifier before buying it. The low vision evaluation provided on-site at council offices includes a conversation about the specific things a client wants to see again or see better. Changing lighting or using a different color background can often make a significant difference in seeing details for things like taking medication, working on crafts, or etc. Magnifiers come in many sizes and strengths, and a client could learn what works best for them before making a purchase. The low vision evaluation can help a client find the right tool for the task, whether it is a magnifier or non-optical aid, and understand how to use that tool most efficiently and effectively. Vision rehabilitation services are provided by both Brent Prezenka and certified vision rehabilitation therapist Rachel Pavoni. Vision rehabilitation services help people who have vision loss regain independence and confidence as they learn adaptive ways and safe skills to manage day-to-day tasks. A preliminary conversation seeks to discover the areas of daily living that the client would like to address. Assessment and training in the council's recently opened vision rehabilitation classroom, staffed primarily by Rachel, is related to a wide range of daily living activities such as medication management, smart speaker and TV remote operation, timekeeping, note-taking, labeling, and much more. Rachel also provides Braille instruction. In-home training may also include organization around the home, meal preparation, and safe cooking. To learn more about the range of vision services offered by the council, you can fill out the vision services request form at wcblind.org/vision-services-requests or call us at 800-783-5213. Letter from Executive Director Denise Jess. Raise your voice to help improve the state of vision services in Wisconsin. Photo, Denise Jess. Vision loss is often described as a low-incidence disability, and over the decades, it has ranked low in priority for public officials at the local, state, and federal levels. That is why the Council's statewide public policy work has been so vital throughout our history and remains critical today. Our advocacy strives to enhance equitable access to key rights and services for all people with blindness and vision impairment. By 2050, the number of Wisconsinites with significant vision loss is expected to double from today's estimated total of 109,000. Older adults are the fastest growing group of people with blindness and vision loss due to age-related diseases. With a large baby boomer population, we know a silver tsunami is on the way. This trend is not unique to Wisconsin. It is happening nationwide. Wisconsin, along with other states across the country, must be better prepared to address the needs of this growing population. We know that vision rehabilitation services delivered by specially trained and qualified professionals can make all the difference in someone's ability to age in place with dignity, reduce the risk of injuries, stay connected with loved ones in the community, engage in hobbies and favorite leisure time activities, and in general, maintain a higher quality of life. However, even at present, there are insufficient services available to assist people in learning these invaluable skills. Further, many people do not know that these services are available. As a result, only 3% of older adults receive vision rehabilitation services that would enable them to develop skills in cooking, medication management, household maintenance, reading, communicating online, safe navigation in the community, and other daily living activities. While private nonprofit organizations like the Council and Vision Forward do extensive outreach and education and offer high-quality vision rehabilitation services by trained professionals, we cannot fill the increasing need on our own. We need our public partners, such as the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired, or OBVI, to step up to connect with this growing number of individuals. Over the past approximately 15 years, we've seen state services decrease, with vision rehabilitation specialists covering larger areas of the state, often stretched to serve their consumers. If more people were to seek out services at rates more indicative of the need, it would be well beyond the ability of OBVI and its nonprofit partners to provide those services. The Council is doing several things to raise awareness of these issues with policymakers. We've banded together with other leaders across the country to form the Aging and Vision Loss National Coalition, AVLNC, to strategize about productive actions we can take both nationally and state by state. I was also recently appointed to the board of Vision Serve Alliance, a national consortium of organizations like the Council, to work with my peers to wrestle with these critical issues of availability and access. A recent large-scale project of the AVLNC has been a state-by-state analysis of older adults living with vision loss, breaking down this population by race, gender, and income level. The studies also look at social determinants of health and the impact of vision loss on quality of life. The Council, along with other vision-serving organizations in Wisconsin, commissioned our state study. We are anxiously awaiting the results, as we believe the data will provide a critical missing piece in our advocacy efforts. You can be a strong advocate in promoting access to publicly available vision services. Here's how. 1. Reach out to your state elected officials to help them learn about the needs of people with vision loss. With the November elections, there are many changes to our elected bodies. Many legislators are new to their roles, and constituents play an important role in educating lawmakers. 2, advocate for state services during the budget process. This spring, the legislature will be building the 2023-25 state budget. There will be several opportunities throughout the process for you to give feedback and offer ideas. 3, stay informed. Follow the Council's advocacy emails and alerts and consider attending our advocacy days later this spring. 4, apply for a seat on the Statutory Council on Blindness. The SCOB is housed within the Wisconsin Department of Health Services and has an explicit mission to advise the state government on issues important to the blindness community. 5, educate your healthcare professionals about the value of vision rehabilitation services and encourage them to refer their clients or patients for services. As people with vision loss, we have the right to live our lives to the fullest. The lack of available services interferes with that right for many people, especially Wisconsin's most vulnerable residents. We need to raise all of our voices to call attention to this very real issue. I'm excited for you to join us in this effort. State budget priorities taking center stage in Council's advocacy. Photo: Governor Tony Evers holding up the signed state budget bill with people applauding in the background. As Governor Evers and the state legislators dig into the new legislative session, one of their first orders of business will be to start constructing Wisconsin's 2023-25 biennial budget, which takes effect on July 1st. As always, the Council's advocacy will shift into high gear to communicate our priorities to policymakers and make the case for investing in programs and infrastructure that meet the needs of Wisconsinites living with vision loss. Council Executive Director Denise Jess says the Council's number one priority during this budget cycle is transportation, specifically for non-drivers. "It's huge," Denise says. "We really need to focus major attention on this issue because so many other issues are tied to it." Denise notes that transportation matters for everybody in the state, but is particularly critical for people with disabilities. Access to reliable transit goes a long way in reducing family stress. People stay healthier when they have dependable transportation to medical appointments and to the pharmacy. Employers and employees both benefit when workers can get to work consistently and on time. It's a critical infrastructure issue, Denise says. A stubborn challenge in advocating for non-drivers is that the system itself works against them. Most transportation systems are designed primarily with drivers in mind, at the expense of the modes of transit non-drivers rely on. Denise provided context in a recent update to the Council's Board of Directors based on her work with the Wisconsin Non-Driver Advisory Committee. Denise urges people to refer to these facts when talking with elected officials during the state budget process. 31% of Wisconsin residents are non-drivers. That's nearly one in three people. This debunks the idea that non-drivers are a small, comparatively insignificant portion of the population. 97% of the state's land is rural, and 30% of the state's population lives in communities smaller than 10,000 residents. Rural non-drivers are particularly disadvantaged by our lack of transit options. 17% of Wisconsin's population is 65 or older. In general, older adults are 2 to 4 times as likely to have a disability depending on age, and a larger percentage are unable to drive compared to younger residents. Lack of transportation options is a systemic issue, but it creates individual barriers. It leads to fewer employment opportunities, poorer health outcomes, and increased isolation. Denise Jess says another top priority for the council is voting equity. People with disabilities are one of the largest, most marginalized populations in the country. But collectively, it's a huge voting bloc. Data from the Rutgers University School of Management and Labor Relations indicates nearly 62% of people with disabilities voted in 2020, up from 56% in 2016. That 6-point increase outpaces the historic increase of 5 points among people without disabilities. Higher turnout was reported across all disability types and demographic groups. The council's work on voting tries to clear the path so people with disabilities can exercise their right to vote, Denise says. The voting access issue is thoroughly intertwined with the transportation issue. Denise describes the bind this way. I'm disenfranchised because I can't vote. I can't get to the polls because I'm disenfranchised. Here's how the state budget process works. Governor Evers will unveil his budget proposal in February. Next stop, the draft budget goes to the state legislators' Joint Committee on Finance, where members of the State Assembly and Senate hold hearings to gather input from state agencies, such as the Department of Health Services, Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Transportation, etc., with the public. Joint Finance makes changes to the budget bill, often huge changes that leave it bearing little resemblance to the governor's proposal. It is then sent to the full Assembly and Senate, which may make additional changes. The budget bill must be passed in identical form by both houses, so sometimes negotiations must be held to resolve differences. Once both houses have passed the bill, it goes back to the governor, who may veto specific parts of it before signing it into law. While the entire process will last into the summer, the time to connect with your representatives and the legislator to make your voice heard is now. You can find out who your state representatives are at tinyurl.com/WILegismaps. That's WILEGIS maps. To learn how you can testify at public hearings or simply register for or in opposition to a bill, go to tinyurl.com/regpublichearing. That's REG public hearing. Stay on top of Joint Finance Committee meetings here. tinyurl.com/WIJF committee. If you are interested in receiving budget update notifications, you can sign up at tinyurl.com/WILegisNotify. That's WILEGIS notify. You can monitor joint finance hearings without traveling to the state capitol. You can watch them live on the Wisconsin Eye website at wiseye.org. For info on these and other state capitol activities, you can call the legislative hotline at 800-362-9427. As you explore those legislative websites, you may discover that they are not very accessible for people with vision loss. That's another unnecessary barrier that must be addressed. Denise says the council will be advocating for increased digital equity in the state budget, with an emphasis on building more accessible design on the front end of state websites and applications. To stay on top of the state budget process as it unfolds, watch the council website at wcblind.org. Subscribe to our advocacy update newsletter at wcblind.org/newsletter-signup. And follow us on social media. You can find those links at the bottom of our website. Gallery Night was a fall highlight for artists and art lovers alike. Photo: three people looking at art pieces hung on a wall. On November 4th, the council's office space was transformed into an art gallery. It was a part of our annual Gallery Night, an opportunity to showcase the work of Wisconsin artists with vision loss. The council was one of many destinations taking part that evening in a citywide gallery night organized by the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art. The council's exhibit featured pieces by 8 contributors from around the state working in a variety of media. Despite some seriously nasty weather, a steady stream of visitors toured the exhibit, including news crews from 2 local television stations. The 2022 Gallery Night was a welcome return to an in-person gathering after 2 years of virtual-only events due to COVID. That said, if you are unable to come to Gallery Night in November, we invite you to view the artwork that was on display by visiting our virtual gallery at wcblind.org/virtual-gallery. A room full of patrons gathered in the middle of the event for the artist program, where contributors talked about their inspirations, methods, and influences. Ellen Connor, an Oregon, Wisconsin-based photographer, had 2 pieces featured in the exhibit. "As my vision decreased in the last several years, I began to use photography to enlarge details in nature that I couldn't see anymore without the photograph," Ellen explained in her artist statement. "Modern camera technology does the focusing, since detail is blurry to me at distance. For example, I can see the form of a bird. With the camera, I capture the details and realize he's a nuthatch, or that the wildflower blowing in the wind is lobelia. This method has piqued my interest in color more and more." Deb Clare is a painter from Madison. From her artist statement, "My vision started deteriorating in grade school, but I wasn't diagnosed and found legally blind until age 16 while in driver's ed. In spite of that, I still sought out art classes in high school, enjoying drawing, watercolors, oils, acrylic, and some 3D art. Even with central vision loss, I was still able to render realistic, detailed images. I continued classes in college, expanding to fiber art and carving. Eventually, my vision declined to such an extent I had to modify how I did it. My art has become more tactile, using wide brushstrokes and finger painting. I believe my expressions are actually more authentic now because they are coming from a more spontaneous inspiration." You can read all the artist statements on the council website at wcblind.org/2022-gallery-night-artist-statements. New year brings changes to board of directors. Photo: Camomile Harrison standing in front of a yard with a barn or garage in the background. Photo: Nat Tarnoff outside in front of a fence. Photo: Brent Goodman standing in front of a sculpture of an antlered animal. The beginning of 2023 brought several changes to the Council's Board of Directors. We said farewell with much gratitude to the departing Chris Richmond. Chris joined the board in 2012. He served as board chair from 2015 to 2021. Along the way, Chris says he served on all the board's committees as well as some work groups. His term ended December 31st. I think my primary motivation for becoming involved with the council and serving on the board was paying it forward, Chris says. Having been the recipient of the council's efforts to ensure more equitable opportunities for blind people in education and employment, it seemed only appropriate to share in advancing the council's mission. Chris was an exemplary leader who knew how to honor an organization's past while embracing the present and guiding it into the future, says Council Executive Director Denise Jess. We're pleased to welcome three new members to the board. Each represents a different background and brings a unique perspective to the council. Madison resident Camomile Harrison is a 2021 UW-Whitewater graduate who majored in psychology. While at the university, she worked in the Office of Leadership and Career Development as an LGBTQ+ peer educator intern. She's a former vice president of the Wisconsin Association of Blind Students. Camomile is currently a training coordinator on the Disability Benefits Team for Disability Rights Wisconsin. I look forward to being able to serve the blind and disabled communities, she says. I'm ready to get to work to start helping people. Nat Tarnoff has worked in the corporate setting as a consultant for the past 15 years. The Sun Prairie resident focuses on technical, marketing, design, and human resource applications of accessibility. He is ready to apply his professional skills to the council's mission. Everyone deserves the right to independence, Nat says. I work dailies with companies of all sizes, from the mom and pop to the Fortune 500, trying to improve their accessibility. Nat adds that in addition to lending his expertise to the board, he plans to better understand what low vision and blind people really need to be independent. New board member Brent Goodman is from Rhinelander. Brent is a retired creative marketing manager, literary editor, and writer. He holds a master's degree in fine art and poetry from Purdue University and is currently an at-large Wisconsin Poet Laureate Commission member. The white cane advocate lost most of his vision between 2016 and 2018 due to a series of retinal detachments in both eyes. Among other activities, he's the Northwoods Low Vision Lunch Club co-organizer. The council's work has mattered to me since they issued my first white cane back in March 2018, Brent says. The cane has given me confidence to travel independently through my transition into living with low vision. Brent says he has a special interest in transportation issues, one of the council's key policy priority areas. In addition, incumbent member Chip Kaufman was elected to a new term on the board. The Middleton resident was first elected to the board in 2020. He learned of the council after his cone rod dystrophy diagnosis. He participated in the low vision support group for a number of years and found a like-minded community there. I found it inspiring to talk with others like me who are losing their vision and to encourage those who are having a rough time, Chip said when his first term began. The ability to connect with others who are blind or visually impaired and to make a difference is what drew me to the council board. Support the council in a lasting way through planned giving. Photo: an adult's hands passing a small plant into a child's hands. The council relies on support that comes in many forms, from small monetary donations to company sponsorships to the talents of our wonderful volunteers. We'd like to invite you to consider giving to the council in a new, everlasting way: planned giving. A planned gift is a contribution arranged in the present to be donated at a future date. While not always the case, these gifts are often connected to a will or estate trust. Setting up a planned gift is a simple process. you can find guidance in a newsletter called Planning with a Purpose on our website at wcblind.org/donate. There are many ways to plan a gift to the council. As mentioned, gifts laid out in wills and trusts can continue the giving you began in your lifetime. The council can be named as a beneficiary in an IRA or other retirement account. Doing this erases the income tax burden family members may owe upon inheriting these assets. IRA owners age 70 and a half and older can also make direct gifts to a charity from their accounts. The gift can take the place of required minimum distributions, again saving income taxes. In addition, a life insurance policy no longer needed for family security can be given, or the council can be named as a beneficiary. A longtime donor from Waukesha County who asked to remain anonymous gets very emotional when talking about how and why she chose to create an account for the council from her estate. She says individual giving over the years has been a comfort to her, a fabric of her life. Her aunt experienced vision loss. "I think about her," the contributor says. But there was another person from deep in her past whom she also thinks about. An elementary school classmate who was blind made such a lasting impression on her. "I sat across from him at lunch," she remembers. "I never forgot him." She adds that she's aware that an aging baby boomer population is increasing the need for vision services and programs. "This is why I started giving. It's why I give now, and it's why I included the council in my estate plans." To learn more about planned giving, contact Fund Development Director Lori Werbeckis at 608-237-8114 or lwerbeckis@wcblind.org. That's lwerbeckis@wcblind.org. Upcoming events. The Big Share. Photo. The Big Share logo. Join the council on Tuesday, March 7th for the Big Share, a day of online giving hosted by Community Shares of Wisconsin. Mark your calendar for this opportunity to make a difference for people living with vision loss in Wisconsin. Scholarship applications. Wisconsin students who are blind or visually impaired are invited to apply for a scholarship from the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Scholarships are available for post-secondary students attending a two-year college, technical college, four-year university, or graduate program. The application period will open in February, with completed applications due in April. Advocacy Days. Plan to join us in April for the Council's 2023 Advocacy Days. Advocacy Days, offered as a hybrid virtual in-person event this year, will provide opportunities to understand the legislative process, learn how you can help advance the Council's state budget priorities, and potentially meet with your representatives in the state legislature. Back cover. The Council publishes four monthly e-newsletters: upcoming events, advocacy update, on-site, and news you can use. Each has important information to help empower readers living with vision loss to live vibrant, independent lives. Subscribe to any or all of them at wcblind.org/newsletter-signup. Do you know that the Council Courier is also available in Braille and audio formats? To request an alternative format or update your mailing address, call us at 608-255-1166. Contact us. Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 754 Williamson Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. wcblind.org. Email info@wcblind.org. 608-255-1166. 800-783-5213. This has been Council Volunteer Sarah Werbeckis reading the Winter 2023 edition of the Council Courier.